Hey, what's up? It's Josh Trent. This is Wellness and Wisdom, the place where, as always, we get to nourish the five sides of our wellness pentagon. This is the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and financial wellness that we all signed up for here on planet Earth. I'm here, as always, with our content manager, Mar. How are you doing today, Mar?
I'm doing great. Really, really great. I have my sister visiting on the island, so it's been beautiful.
You live in such a gorgeous place. We're going to have to link where you live. I know I've already talked about it. Azores, this island in the middle of the ocean. It's freaking amazing. You know, you get so nourished out there. And today is about nourishment of the mind. This is a really mentally focused podcast, but I promise I'm going to bring it into the spiritual as well. We're talking about the courage to grow, how to build mental resilience in hard times, and the effects of global masculinity that is being deprived. One of my favorite subjects. As you know, we've done a ton of content on that. Look, this is a great place, you guys, for you to get to know us, for you to record your voice. So go to joshtrent.com/AMA and record your voice. We have so many people, almost 20 people, that have dropped their questions in. It's an opportunity for you to be courageous. Maybe if you're nervous about who am I to speak my truth, well, this is a great opportunity for you to give us feedback, for you to share something that's been on your heart or your mind. Like, do you want to see something new? Do you like something about the show? Do you listen to this when you go to bed? Do you listen to this when you're out in nature? Let us know, joshtrent.com/AMA. And by the way, your voice will be broadcasted to tens of thousands of people across the world. So it's a really cool opportunity. Everything from today is at joshtrent.com/619. So if you want to go over there for the discounts and resources that we always talk about on every episode, that's at joshtrent.com/store. Now, it's much cheaper than Amazon, by the way, like 40% sometimes cheaper. So I don't care if it's like your house, your clothes, your skincare, hydration, nootropics, everything from your teeth to your toes, joshtrent.com/store. All right, Mar, let's get into this week's AMA. Let's start with the big one. Let's start with the masculinity that's in deprivation. This is from Anna. Let's listen to the question right now.
Do you think masculinity is in deprivation in our society because of feminism?
Well, the short answer is yes. And I'll tell you why. But before I begin, Mar, you know, you and I were chatting about this before we jumped on. And there's a dark and a light to feminism. Now, you as a woman, right? The majority of our audience is women. And also men who are interested in accessing the feminine inside of themselves. That's why we have the upside down triangle in our company logo so that I can master that myself. From a feminine perspective, what do you think the light and the dark of feminism is in your mental view?
So I'm still in the process of figuring out what's the good part and what's the kind of negative part of feminism. I've never been involved in the feminist movement at all, because my opinion is every movement that has gone extreme is not serving its purpose anymore. And that has happened with every big movement, basically. So I do see it in a way that it has brought us some freedom. In a sense, we're not dependent only on men anymore, which in a sense is good, but in the same sense, we have become the masculine in the world as well, because we get to work every day and we get to earn our own money and take care of children and do everything on our own. And I don't think that's a good thing. We just do way too much.
Right. It's beautiful. Look, so it's a great question, Anna. And I'll start by, we'll go into three different chunks here. I think any movement, when it begins, it does come from a good place, right? And so women's suffrage has been happening for a long time. You know, Eckhart Tolle talked about the pain body of women. And just like a lake, if you were to throw a rock, right, which could essentially represent the dark side of the patriarchy, which is a real thing, right? Patriarchy and feminism both have a dark and a light. That rock of the dark side of patriarchy was thrown into the lake. And in some ways, in many ways, the ripple is still being felt by the feminine, by women in the world. So I'm not here to negate the suffrage of women or the pain that women feel. I am here to just bring a different perspective. So with that vantage point, when it started, feminism, I believe, was about getting women to a place where they feel empowered, where they feel free. Unfortunately, like most movements here in the Matrix, that movement was captured early 1900s by the IRS and by many of the top wealthy families in America. And it was a way to get women out of the house and into the workforce for this reason, to double the taxes that were actually collected. And also, it sacrifices the family. It's your daily reminder to take your daily symbiotic from Seed, the highest quality gut health supplement on earth with rigorous evidence-based science and the most complete formula I believe exists in the entire microbiome world. For all the parents, we know that gut health starts in utero and as children and continuing on to young adults. This is why my son takes the PDS-08 Pediatric Daily Symbiotic from Seed. It's clinically studied for children and adolescents ages 3 through 17 with 9 probiotic strains and a fiber-based prebiotic. It's true that our health is not only what we eat, it's what we absorb. And current research shows that upwards of 90% of people have some form of leaky gut, children included. Seed helps to support children's healthy regularity, easy frequent bowel movements, and it's exceptionally well tolerated while supporting all the little tight spaces in the gut that our children need most. And our friends over at Seed gave you and I 25% off our first purchase. Just head over to joshtrent.com/seed and use the code in all caps, 25joshtrent. That's joshtrent.com/seed and use the code 25joshtrent in all caps to get 25% off your first order. Now, the dark side of feminism, it did a couple things that really hit the relationship between men and women on a visceral level. Number one, it pulled women out of the home and put them into the workplace. And then they had essentially a slave master in the early 1900s instead of being attached to their family. I think this is one of the worst parts of the dark side of feminism because really what it did is it took the mom away from her children. Now, if mothers aren't connected to their children, and I see this firsthand with Carrie Michelle and Nova and Naya, how much attention they really need. It's such a sacred, beautiful thing, how much attention children really need, and actually what they are completely worthy of. These children that are growing up in the world, when they don't have a mother figure, right? If you look at the work of Mark Wolin, all wounds or all healing start with the mother. So when you have a break in the bond, he calls it, with your mother early on in life, and by the way, it could be in utero if the mother is stressed. It could be the first developmental years. It could be adolescence. It even could be young adulthood. What happens is the body goes into a fight or flight response on a very deep level. This is the blood flow to the amygdala that happens when we're in that base level of Maslow's hierarchy. And so really what feminism did is it pulled the woman out of the home, it put her into the workforce, and it doubled the taxes for the IRS. Now, look, that's not the only thing that happened, right? Also, what happened there is that we saw this break in the bond between the mother and the father. The father traditionally has been out of the home doing work because of the industrialization movement in the early 1900s. So, Mar, this is like 100+ years old, this wound that we're all still healing. And so what that did is it raised kids without their mothers and it raised kids without their fathers. This is that term, the latchkey kids, that many of the wealthy families or even just middle class American families have been dealing with. And that is children are raised by someone else besides their parents. And what that does is it wounds the children on such a deep level that they actually don't know what a headquarters of home really feels like. And I can attest to this myself. My mom was manic bipolar when I was raised. And I love you, Mom. I have respect for you. And I've done a lot of healing work with my mom. And I know that you have too, Mar. And I know a lot of us here have done a lot of healing work on this. But really what feminism did is it became this sword that sliced between the mother and the children and the mother and the father. Now, is that the case for everyone? Absolutely not. I'm speaking very reductionistically. I'm speaking in a blanket form right now. But essentially, for the far, far, far majority, if you look at the research, and even if you look at what's talked about by the Gottmans or many of the guests that have been on the show, when you separate the mother-father unit from the children, and the children don't have access to the mother in a way that nature designed them to, there's massive emotional intelligence fallout. There's so much pain and there's so much fallout that's essentially caused because of this. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is this deprivation aspect, Anna, that you so wisely stated. So thank you for your question. What happens in this way is that there's no space for the man or the masculine energy to fill. Right? And it's no fault of the mother because we essentially have all been in a psyop. It's been a big fucking psyop. Most things, when you look at conspiracy theory, are true. Now, I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat. I'm being really real here. Most of the things we've been taught, like taxes or buying things, materialism, feminism, patriarchy, a man's role, a woman's role. These are all things that are currently being completely unwound in our modern world. And I really feel like it's a gift, because when we look at the deprivation of men, men essentially are being put on a pedestal of providership, where a man's only value, as far as society's lens, it's not my lens, their value is only how many numbers are in their bank account, or how much they can provide to a woman, or how much they can provide to a family. Now, we know that this is one aspect of being a man, but the part of the man that's being deprived is all the other parts besides what he provides. And that is his connection to his children, his connection in relationship, his spaciousness that honestly is called forth by the feminine, right? By his wife, by his partner. And by the way, this exists in however you relate, right? So it could be a homosexual relationship, or this is, I'm speaking heteronormatively here, but the masculine and feminine energies inside of both of us, they have a natural way of being in this world. And they've essentially been disrupted by this shadow of feminism, which, let's be honest, guys, it was called forth by the dark side of the patriarchy as well. So feminism is not, air quotes, to blame here. What is to be learned is our awareness. Our awareness is to be learned in a greater capacity, because once we start to understand the forces that are at play with what I talked about earlier, doubling the tax force in the IRS, getting women out of the home, separating the children from the mother, the break in the bond, we could do a whole podcast on this, but I'll keep it fairly short because I really want to punch through Anna's question. Men are deprived, and I felt this myself, because there is that pain body that I mentioned earlier from Eckhart Tolle that I think many women still feel. And I want to give solace, I want to give respect to that pain body, but I also want to have a call for healing and a call to put down our arms. There is no fucking war of the sexes. It's all an illusion. It is not men versus women. It is not feminism versus patriarchy. I remember we had Vailana on the show, and she was like very passionately like pounding her fists on the table. And she's like, anytime you have a woman saying things like, fuck the patriarchy, all that does is it feeds the darkness and the dragon of the patriarchy itself. That energy, that like fuck you energy, or I'm working against you energy, that is the part that is really depriving men of their connection to the feminine, to their women. And, you know, maybe rightly so in some cases, in many cases, because that pain body is still rippling. So what this is, Anna, is this is a call for us to put down our weapons, to open up our hearts to each other, and to really connect and be committed to our own expansion of consciousness, our own expansion of awareness, where we can connect with each other on a level that has nothing to do with the absolute insane narrative that we have felt from the early 1900s that was really masked, if you look at the 60s, with like free love and women getting on birth control and all these different things, you know, even the hashtag boss babe or boss bitch, things that are out there. It's so comical, and we get to just take a big breath, fly 30,000 feet above this entire societal narrative, and choose a different path. That's what this is about. It's about choosing a different path. It's about recognizing that we are truly one. Now, that statement, we are truly one, it might seem airy-fairy to those of you who are listening or understanding this concept for the first time. A great resource for this is the podcast we did with Aaron Abke, where he talked about the law of one. We'll go ahead and link that in the show notes right below wherever you're listening. So to cap all the different points that I've made, I want to say this. It's a call for our healing. Right? The deprivation that men feel, the pain body that's still rippling in the feminine from so many years of oppression, these are all things that are bubbling to the surface, and they're allowing us to see things from a different perspective. Now, is this the easy path? No. This is not an easy path. It's very easy to become a victim. Another resource for this is Dr. Kelly Brogan, that we'll also link below in the show notes. And she was very passionate about talking about feminism as one of the greatest psyops of our time. So I am not here to tell you what to think. I am here just to present a different opinion, a different vantage point. And I feel in my body when I talk about it that this actually is the way of love. This is the way of us connecting again as men and women, as mother and father, as father and mother to children. That's really, as a father, I can speak to. These children deserve so much love, so much presence. And my heart goes out to, I want to give real homage here. My heart goes out to every woman who is forced to go to work and not be with her children. That is, in my opinion, one of the greatest gifts a mother could bring to her children, is her full presence. And that is what's being robbed from women by the darker side of the feminist movement. So that's what I have to say on that one, Anna. I hope that answered your question. What is our next question? We have it from Jackie.
Yeah, the next one is from Jackie, and she's asking about your advice on building mental grit during these crazy times.
What is a way you can build resilience and grit in these crazy trying times with social media, 24-hour news cycle, etc.? How can you build the skills needed to survive your mind during these crazy times? I appreciate your advice and your answer. Thank you.
Isn't Jackie asking like the quintessential question of our times? I mean, in this day and age where we're also, quote, hyper-connected on social media, and we have the most perceived connection that we've ever had, I think really what we're talking about here is pseudo-connection, where our energy and really our mental focus is being harvested. Like, I don't know about you, Mara, but I'm very aware of how much I'm on my phone. Do you, do you have a great relationship with your phone, or what is that like for you?
I wouldn't call it a great relationship. I'm trying to get away from it as much as I can. And every time I'm in a real social situation interaction, I try to never use my phone. It's just, to me, it feels so rude when I'm face to face to somebody and they're just on their phone. I can't stand it. And that's why I'm not doing that. But yeah, I'm definitely trying to bring the screen time down as much as I can. That's my goal.
Yeah, it's well said. Y'all can go on your iPhone, I believe on your Android too, and you can look at your hours. It actually shows you on your phone how many times you pick it up and how much time you're spending on your phone. So if you think you don't have time, I challenge everyone that's here with us to pick up your phone and look at how much time you're spending on your phone. I remember we had a guest on the show. It was Dr. Kyra Bobinet, and she was a neuroscientist. And we'll link it right below. She told me something very, very powerful. She said, look, no matter if you have children or not, even as adults, we're all being trained. We're all being trained on a neurological level to seek comfort and to seek what's called reward circuitry in our limbic system from the phone itself. Another great resource for this is our episode we did with Nir Ayal, where he talked about the variable reward of cell phones. I think, Jackie, what your question really points to is the phone, because the phone and computers and social media, these are the devices and these are the things that are actually taking down our capacity to have mental grit. Look at our ancestors, right? They saw, and I'm talking like even our grandparents, Mar, they saw maybe 150 to 200 things that were high decision-making things that they needed to make decisions on in their life. We see 10,000 things or more. So it's like 20 to 100x times of input that's coming at us all day long. We are human. We are half beast and half spirit. And so I think it's no surprise that all of us are struggling in some way with mental grit. Now, when you say crazy times, a lot of these crazy times are propagated by what we see on social. We've all heard the term doom scrolling, right? It's actually why Mar and myself and our entire team, we design content that can actually go out there and hook people where they are. And that is essentially maybe in the bathroom, going to the bathroom, doom scrolling, or on the trolley or whatever, like just going through your phone, trying to get some kind of a mental reward from just the normalcy of where you are. And I think what we've lost is we've lost the ability to just be present in a moment. You talked about when you're with groups, Mar, how it triggers you when people are on their phones. I think a really good way to begin this process, Jackie, is actually to demand respect from yourself and to demand respect from others, that when you are communicating with self or others, to actually put down the phone. And this is a really big one. This is a great practical step. When you're ever in a group, or let's say you're with your husband or wife or your family, and you see them pick up their phone while you're talking to them, just stop talking. Actually, just physically stop talking. They'll look up, you'll pattern interrupt them. They've been sucked into their phone because they think they can multitask and be present to their phone and present to you. That is actually what primes the brain. And this is the neurology behind this. And Scott Jackson talked about this too. That's another resource here. We're going to have a ton of resources on this AMA that we're going to link down below, joshtrend.com/619. Scott talked about the way that our brain actually receives reward. and we receive reward by stimuli, right? So Mara, if you're hugging your boyfriend, or if you're going for a surf, or if you're doing something that's amazing and it lights you up and it's just the one thing that you're doing right now, odds are you ain't thinking about anything else. You're not thinking about being on your phone. You're not thinking mm-hmm. about what's going on for the rest of your day. Like, have you had flow states like this where you're super connected to whatever is in front of you? I know you've had that.
Yeah. Yeah. Many, many times, especially surfing. That's the place you can just completely disconnect and be fully immersed in nature.
I miss the ocean. I grew up in California for 40 years and I just miss the ocean so much. We do have the lake out here in Austin, which is amazing. So I'll go on the stand-up paddle board and it gives me that kind of surfing aspect. But yeah, like what you said, when you're doing something you love and you're fully present to what you're doing, it's a muscle. It is a muscle. You're actually practicing flow state. You're practicing the neurology of being hyper-focused on one thing, which, by the way, just like we did breath work before our AMA, guys, this is why breath work is so, so, so freaking important. I'm not just saying that because I have a program, right? The breathe program that's 3 weeks long, I built it because I was suffering with this very thing. I do breath work in my life because it turns down the volume on my default mode network. It takes blood away from my amygdala and it brings it to the prefrontal cortex. So I'm getting the neurology of being focused. I'm also getting all the spiritual and emotional and mental benefits of being focused because I'm actually looking at or being with the beauty that's in front of me, right? Like when I'm with Carrie Michelle and we do our Zen spray at night and we hold each other's knees or we look into each other's eyes, that's all that we're doing. And I think that's how you begin, Jackie, is you take an inventory and you go, hey, what are the ways that I am struggling in my life with mental health? And just be honest with yourself. Like that sometimes can be the most challenging thing, right? A true inventory of exactly where you are and what is causing you the most pain. That is a really, really beautiful place to start. So start there.
Doing the cold plunge and cold thermogenesis is fast becoming the number one way to increase your health and metabolism, which directly leads to weight loss. Let's hear from Ryan Dewey, the CEO and co-founder of Plunge, to learn more.
At this point, you've probably heard about cold plunging somewhere on the internet and wondering what all the hype is about. Well, here at Plunge, we like to take all the stress out of the problem by providing at-home cold plunge units that provide crystal clear cold water on demand. As opposed to lugging ice and getting that trough in place and dealing with dirty water, the Plunge provides it always in there ready for you. Cold plunge is one of the greatest ROI tools that's out there. 2 to 3 minutes every single day, and you get the increased dopamine levels, a more resilient immune system, a regulated nervous system, and ultimately just a more calm, peaceful outlook on life. We truly believe that when you take the plunge, you change your life. We'd love for you to check us out and see what the cold plunge is all about.
Save $150 off your brand new plunge, plus get free shipping right to your home by heading over to joshtrent.com/plunge. Use the code WellnessForce. This is hands down my top daily biohack for longevity, inner peace, and mitochondrial health. Don't miss out on this special limited time deal. Head over to joshtrent.com/plunge. Use the code WellnessForce. Save $150 off your brand new plunge and a super special deal of free shipping.
Practice your muscle of actually being present with the person in front of you, because this is the thing. The more you do that, just like when you go to the gym, the more you're actually training your neurology and you're training your physiology to really be present with the person or the thing that's in front of you. And then here's the key. When you stack that with the other step that I suggested, where you're being mindful of your phone and you're looking at how much time you're spending on your phone, if you do those two things, then the third thing is going to be completely possible. And the third thing is going to be creativity. How many times have we been through, Mar, where we're in a rush or we're in a hurry to create the content for the week and we feel stressed? Creativity cannot come from compression. Creativity only comes from spaciousness. And so this is the call that we're all getting shouted at really by ourselves and by the collective, is if you want to build mental grit during crazy times, Jackie, do these three things. Create space in your mind where your neurology can be with the person, monitor your phone, and practice creativity. Now, this is not just lip service. Like, these are things that I am committed to practicing every single day. And I think that's a really great place for us to start. So I hope that was helpful. Let's get to the next question. It's from Joanna.
So Joanna is calling out the new age bullshit, and she wants to know the difference between forcing versus cultivating courage. courage to accept life's purpose.
It's so good. Oh my gosh, how many people can relate to this? Let's hear Joanna.
Hey, Josh, my name is Joanna. And my question for you is, I've heard you in the past talk about how in the new age, people say things like, if it doesn't feel good, then don't do it. And I've heard you call BS on that. And I would love if you could elaborate more about that, specifically like with differentiating between, like, if you're forcing something and it's, you know, like to just switch lanes versus like something is meant for you, but it might just be hard, you know, like how do you differentiate clarity around the path? Because obviously it's going to be hard either way. So it might not feel good either way. I hope that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. So the analogy would be when to grit and when to quit and how to have the emotional, mental faculty in order to know when you should be forcing something, which I believe now is never, that I'll get into, versus cultivating the courage to accept your life purpose. And this is multi-layered. So let's spend some time on this one because this is a very contextual question, right? So in the new age, we have these phrases, Mar, like good vibes only. I've even seen t-shirts and sweatshirts. Have you seen these? Good vibes only, or like social memes?
Love and light.
What does that bring up for you when you see that?
Well, I've been through a lot, so I know it's not true. Like, it's just one part of it. It's like we live in a dual world, and so there's always the shadow part, and we cannot ignore it. Like, if we only focus on the light and the love and the good vibes only, we're missing out on a lot.
No doubt. Yeah, and you know what we're missing out on is we're missing out on the human experience of just having a process in general. I'll never, ever, ever forget this. I was at Paleo FX back in the day when Paleo FX used to happen here in Austin, and I was doing a live podcast with Christine Hassler, and we'll link that in the show notes below because this is just another beautiful resource for this. And she said, you know, never ever allow yourself to rob someone who you care about to rob them from their process. Never allow yourself to rob someone else from their process. And why that's so important is because when we focus on hyper positivity, or when we focus on good vibes only, or just love and light, we're missing out on a fucking myriad of human experience that is grief, pain, anger, resentment, betrayal, jealousy. Human emotions are not necessarily good or bad, right? They're just emotions. And so energy in motion is really just a clue as to where the energy is asking to be relieved or where the energy is asking to be channeled. So when I'm feeling angry or upset, that's actually a good thing. It's a good thing because my boundary has been broken in some way, or I'm not being respected in some way, either by myself or my partner or a friend or a colleague. These are beautiful, beautiful guideposts for us. And if we choose to ignore them and hyper focus on positivity, and I'll tell you what, Mara, I came from the fitness industry. This shit was rampant in fitness. Like, fitness industry has a shadow. The fitness industry has a beautiful light as well. I was a trainer for 10 years and I trained over 10,000 hours with clients. And I know a lot of those clients had very beautiful healings and physical transformations from that. But what I was unaware of is that I was shining this flashlight. And so visualize this, everyone. If you're holding a flashlight and you're just shining the flashlight on everyone else, good vibes only, I'm here to love, I'm here to serve, I'm a trainer, I'm a massage therapist, I'm a coach, I'm a healer, and you're just shining, shining, shining light on a flashlight from other people, guess what stays dark? The part behind the flashlight, that's you, because you're just shining a light on other people. So I say, put down the flashlight, hold up a lantern, because when you hold up a lantern of light, you actually shine light on yourself and others. So this good vibes only thing, it exists in the flashlight, but it doesn't exist in the lantern. So what this really is, Joanna, is I'm going to call out the new age here. Y'all need to put down the flashlight and hold up a lantern, because we need to be illuminated ourselves. I don't care how developed you are, or how on the path you've been, or how expanded you feel your consciousness is. You must choose to hold up a lantern so you're illuminated and the people that you're serving are illuminated, because otherwise that shadow will come later, and that shadow is going to come with interest. All the compounding interest of years or decades of you not looking at your own shadow because you're so busy shining the light on other people, And I get it. I'm not here to shame or blame these people because I did it for a long time. Oh my God. Let's be real, guys. It wasn't until 2022, February 22nd, 2022, that we shifted from Wellness Force Radio to Wellness and Wisdom, where I authentically, honestly started sharing all my stuff. Like, especially if you listen to the episode we did with Margot and Carrie Michelle, my lady, we'll link that in the show notes. That was really shaky for me. That was a really vulnerable thing for me to just share all my stuff, all my laundry out there. But that's me holding up the lantern, y'all. Like, that's me actually doing it. It doesn't make me better. It doesn't make me cool. It just makes me someone who's authentically sharing the light on myself and other people. And this is really the catch-22, Joanna. When you're in that place of grit or quit, the most powerful thing you can do, when you're in that place of forcing something that may feel uncomfortable, or having to choose between cultivating the courage to accept your life's purpose, and by the way, your life's purpose is exactly where you are, the most powerful thing you can do, oh my God, I'm like clenching my fist right now, is to actually have the courage to just hold up the lantern. Hold up the lantern, shine the light in yourself, what parts of your own darkness are wanting to be healed, then be of service to others. We see so many people, Mar, in our world of spirituality and wellness that they're just serving, but they never share their own stuff. They never share their bloody face. They never share what it's like for them to be in the arena. They're just sharing from the pulpit. And that shit's not trustable. So, Joanna, the way that we do this, and there's a few more layers we'll unpack here, and then, Mar, I want to get your take on one really cool thing. And I say cool because it'll be uncomfortable. So I like to put you on the spot.
Good to know.
When we're in, when we're in the arena and we're playing the game full out and we're really enveloped in life and we're looking at our purpose in the face, that's actually where we're living. We're really most alive when we're super uncomfortable and we're being called forth by our purpose. And by the way, your purpose could be being a great mom, speaking on a stage, speaking on a podcast, recording your voice for an AMA at joshtrent.com/AMA. Like, these are all really subtle and sometimes big ways to face your purpose head on. Your purpose is always directing you. My purpose is always directing me. And I am in no way a perfect seeker of my purpose. The only difference between me and maybe someone else who's starting on the path or a little bit earlier on the path is that I've had almost 10 years now of directly looking at my fear and directly looking at my purpose. Because here's what's going to happen, Joanna, and for all of us, when you move in the direction of your purpose, all your shit's going to come up. And by the way, if you move in the direction of your purpose or not, your shit's still there. That's the crazy part, right? Your stuff is still there. And when I mean your stuff, I mean, am I worthy enough? Am I loved? Am I valuable? Do my peers care about me? Am I accepted by the tribe? Do I have belonging? Am I capable? All these questions that are universal human shared experiences. These are the things that all of us struggle with. Like Joanna and Mar and Josh and all of us, these are all things that we all feel at all times. And just because I'm at this section of the journey and someone else is at a previous section, it does not mean that someone is better than or less than. It just means that we're actually committed to walking this path of development, of growth. This is why in the liberatedlife.me community, we're solely focused on liberating ourselves, because as we choose to liberate ourselves, we actually give ourselves the courage to look in the mirror and be like, whoa, what are all the parts of me that I was keeping myself in jail for? That I was actually keeping myself stuck in a jail cell. So to put you on the spot, Mar, in working with the Wellness and Wisdom podcast and in working with us together and our team, what is one way that you can look back on your life and go, oh, wow, I was keeping myself in a jail cell. And now I at least understand where the key is. Maybe I'm not fully out of the jail cell yet, or maybe I am, but I at least now know that the key of courage is what I get to choose to unlock my own jail cell with.
There's so many things, actually. And yeah, like I've been working with you for like a year and a half now. And there's been so many new things coming up for me during that time and learning to expressing myself, especially. So I think that's a big one, just being able to be myself and just be okay with who I am. Because I've always had the thought, like, are they going to like me? Are they going to be okay with what I said? Are they going to be okay with how I said it? And are they going to think that, for example, I have an accent, so maybe I'm not good enough? So there were a lot of these limitations that I was putting on myself and not really being my true self because of that. So I think that's something that I've improved a lot during the time we've been working together.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because you just busted out the lantern, right? Mm-hmm. So how many people out there, like maybe you're raising your hand in your car, or maybe you're on a walk shaking your head, can relate to what Mara just said, because this is our shared universal human experience. I think what we're coming up against, Joanna, is there is this falsity, there's this really false dichotomy in life, that if you're experiencing fear, or if you're experiencing what Mara talked about, or if you're experiencing one of these shadow aspects that come up, that somehow you're stuck, or somehow you're wrong, or you, quote, should be somewhere different, right? I'll never forget, actually, it was Kelly Brogren and Mark Groves and many guests, probably like 100 guests on the show. They all talk about this concept of the healing spiral. And the healing spiral is, if you're visualizing this, you know, a corkscrew or a vortex, it starts out small. And so at the beginning of your healing spiral, it's going to be a lot harder than when you go on and you're further on the path. The healing spiral starts, there's expansion and contraction. Then the healing spiral continues. There's more expansion and more contraction. And then as you go on 10, 20, 30 years more, the spiral is longer. So you may have something like a mother wound or a father wound or a self-worth wound or confidence in your ability to speak that comes around 10 years later. And you might in that moment go, holy shit, I thought I healed this. What the fuck? I thought I healed this part of myself. Why is this coming back around again? It's because that is the way that emotional and spiritual development happens. And don't take my word for it, y'all. Remember, none of these AMAs and none of these podcasts are for me to tell you how to think or for me to tell you how to be. I'm presenting information and knowledge and wisdom that I've learned from people that I respect that have results that I want. That's a big key for this, Joanna, as we wrap the AMA. When you're moving in this direction of figuring out, when should I grit or quit? When should I force something? Or when should I take a breath and cultivate the courage to accept my life's purpose? Always seek mentorship from people that have some aspect of what you desire. You wouldn't go to a doctor that was smoking cigarettes that has a huge belly, right, to get healthy. You wouldn't go to a financial expert that had a GoFundMe that was saying they're broke on Instagram. You wouldn't receive advice or take advice from someone that is not in a place, or at least one aspect of being in a place that you yourself don't want. So hopefully that really gives you some tools, Joanna. I know it has for me. It's such a huge thing. When do we grit or quit? When do we know how to force something or cultivate the courage to accept our life purpose? You are where you are. Be honest about where you are. That is the most valuable gift that you can give to yourself and others. Pull up that lantern, just like Mar just did, just like I'm doing, just like we're all doing. Shine the light on you and others. And then from that place of honesty, you can move forward. And it's honestly a lot easier, by the way. We hold up these masks of being good vibes only and hyper positive, and we're actually lying to ourselves, and the journey becomes so hard. The journey becomes so harder. Oh my God, in my 20s and even my early 30s, I did this all the time, where I just shine light on other people. So shine the light on you, hold up the lantern, and when you're in that place of forcing, don't force. Don't force. We changed the podcast from Wellness Force to Wellness and Wisdom, because I realized many, many, many times, and still do at times, when I choose to force things, they actually become way harder. They're so much harder, and they don't have to be that hard. We can ease the suffering. This is what it's all about, guys. Go to liberatedlife.me. Join the early bird list for our group. It's coming out in April. This is a place where we can all do this work together. You ain't meant to do this alone. Newsflash, that's why all of us are here asking questions and sharing, because we all deserve a place where we can feel safe enough to do the work and not feel judged, and also not have to wear t-shirts that say good vibes only. So thank you for being here for this AMA. Mar, we covered a lot of ground. What do you think we missed? What came up for you on this AMA that might be of service from the lantern perspective for others?
So there's one thing I recently discovered thanks to a friend of mine, and we're talking about life. That we kind of force that purpose onto us, right? So that's what I was doing. I was like, what is my purpose? Like, I need to find that one thing. And it was always in the back of my mind, there's one thing that I'm supposed to do in this world. And so recently I just let go of that idea, it's just one thing, because there's so many things I want to do that I enjoy, that I want to contribute to the world. And some things are meaningful and deep, and some things are superficial, just like making things more beautiful and writing and, I don't know, maybe recording my voice, whatever it is. There's so many things I want to do that I think are my life purpose. So just detaching from the idea that it's just one thing.
Mm. Bomb drop. Okay, guys, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you go to liberatedlife.me and join the waiting list, the early bird list for the group. And until Mar and I see you on another AMA, we're both wishing you love and wellness. We'll talk to you soon.